Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to love to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. We are also on Pyramid One Network in Australia. We are also Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and iTunes. So please do check us out. We have many shows on archives, and we're over 300 now, and it would be great to hear some of your feedback. And maybe if you need to have a topic that you'd like to hear on the show, just drop us a line. So thank you so much for joining us today. Today we're going to be talking about cancer. So many people, the big word, you know, people like to hyphenate it, or they like to draw a picture around it, or they say they're going to give it a positive visualization, or, you know, I just heard it the other day, someone say, I'm going to take it out with a nuclear bomb. Well, you know, there's a lot of variations on this, and just we as individuals, there's a lot of different paths that we're on when that word does come up in a diagnosis. So today we're going to be talking to Jenny Hrebek. I'm sure she'll correct me on that. She is an RN. She's also the author of Cancer Free, Are You Sure? And it's all about early detection tests. You know, this always amazes me, you know. People will say, oh, I go to the doctor, you know. He's my best friend. I golf with them. We lunch with them, whatever. I see them maybe every 2-3 years. All of my tests are normal, you know, because I still take my prescription drugs. I'm good to go. Then one day, they're not on the golf course, or they're not at lunch, and you wonder, where are they? And what you find out can almost put you to your knees. People say, oh my gosh, didn't you hear? They have stage 4 cancer, they're in chemo, they're doing radiation, or oh, they passed away last week. And you go, can that be so? And the answer is truly, it can be so. So there's a lot of information out there, and to say that everyone, you know, one person's got the answer, it's good to go for everybody, if that was really true, all of this, we wouldn't even be having this conversation today. So please do pick out what we are talking about today, purchase Jenny's book, again, Cancer Free, Are You Sure?, and see what fits, what works for you, because what may work for your neighbor, with the person at the grocery store, or some of your old college friends might not work for you. And it's very important to know that, because when you start to think about, you know, I'm going to try certain things and it doesn't work, sometimes hope, faith, you know, turns into desperation and desolation. So let's talk about what we can possibly do. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Can you correct us on your last name?
It is Hrebacek.
Oh, I was
but
close.
You gave it a good try.
I gave it a good try. Oh, so sorry. I'll tell you, it's, you know, I sometimes I can think of it and I remember it, and then 2 seconds later it's gone, so I'm sorry.
Right. That's quite all right.
So, Jenny, don't you think, you know, as I started the show off today, this is really an individual path, and if we had the answers, well, God bless us, but we don't. So it's really all about sharing what we know, and hopefully some will be able to use this information, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your story, how you got started down this path?
Sure. I've actually been a registered nurse since 1990, and I was trained allopathically. I worked in neonatal. I never, ever thought I would end up where I'm at today until I had a life-changing event. About 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and little 1.9-centimeter lesion, and I had had my yearly exam every year, and you know, from 1 year to the next, all of a sudden I had this terrible life-threatening situation. And anyway, that changed my life because they immediately whisked me in for surgery and chemotherapy, and they wanted to do radiation. And anyway, as I went through that, my nursing training kind of clicked in, and I started to see people around me in the chemotherapy room that were there for the second and third occurrence, not just
right.
infusion, but they had been told they were cancer-free, and then the cancer would come back. And I found that quite disturbing.
Yes.
So anyway, what happened was, after that, I thought, I've got to find out more. Why are these people being told that they're cancer-free? My doctors actually kind of sold this treatment to me as not something I should do, but what I had to do. And they presented it as a cure, not as a treatment. And what I tell people now, if surgery and chemotherapy and radiation were the cure, it would be in the newspaper.
Right.
And it is not. And I've since watched so many precious friends die. So that was the turning point in my path of thinking maybe there's more out there. To continue the story, I thought, well, I'm going to find out what's going on. So I got a bunch of women together at Methodist Hospital. There was a local support group that was kind of fading out, and I talked to the powers that be, and we got this great group all moved over to the local hospital. And at that first meeting, we invited each lady, and there were some men also, to introduce themselves, tell a little bit about what their diagnosis was and their story. And as the stories continued around this huge circle of about 40 or 50 women and men that were there that day, I started to hear one resounding comment over and over. These people were all telling me that they had the same type of cancer that I had. Most were estrogen and progesterone positive. And they had had the same chemotherapy that I had. And half of these ladies, Jeanette, were having a second occurrence. So they had gone through treatment, they were told they were cancer-free, and the cancer was back. And so it was like a pink fest. Everyone had on pink caps and pink scarves and pink mugs, and these women were heartbroken, but yet they were thrilled to be receiving this treatment. So as I sat there, I kind of looked over my shoulder, and I thought, do I have a target on my back, or what is going on here? And it was interesting. I had invited several friends to come with me because I was so excited about this group. We were going to build each other up and build up our immune systems, and we were going to, you know, beat this thing and celebrate that we were all cancer-free. And we walked out to the parking lot together, and my friend pulled me over, and she says, Jenny, I thank you for inviting me. She goes, but I can never come back here. And I kind of had an idea what she was going to say, and I said, why? Very cautiously. And she said, well, because all those women have had a recurrence, and this is not supportive, and this is going to cause me to have nightmares. And she's like, good luck with that. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I have to come back because I was part of getting this group, you know, moved over here. Anyway, so with that, I, you know, lights were flashing. There was something wrong. Anyway, so I continued on, and I thought, well, I'm going to build up my immune system because the people in the support group, their doctors, they were actually happy with where they were at in life. They were happy going for their therapy. They were happy waiting for their PET scan every 6 months. And I didn't know what to tell them. All I knew was that we were not on the right path. So I set out on a mission to build up my immune system because I thought, well, if my immune system faltered, I'm going to figure out how to fix it.
Right. You know, and just to going back to what you were saying about sitting there with the people around you, when they say there's a cure, the cure is only defined as 3 months of test results, you know, that don't show any cancer. That's considered cure. 3 months.
Exactly.
And
right.
3 months is pretty much a short time. And any doctor will tell you, when I say this, you know, you really need to keep on top of it. That's why you keep coming back for all of those other testings. And
right.
Definitely when you're sitting in that room, you know, and everybody's got pink hope on, you know, maybe there are other things out there to give you hope and to help you. But it's not just about just passively sitting there waiting for it. It's about aggressively action and be able to
right.
figure out what you can do for yourself. Because, you know, what was very astounding to me, and I noticed this, I think just recently, I had a guest on the show, and I was reading their book. I always read books front to back. Mm-hmm. Just, it's what I do. And
right.
when I got into one of these pages, deep in one of the chapters, and I only saw the word used once out of this, like, 600-page book, and it was obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor felt that their patient should be obedient.
Yes.
And I was like, really? I mean, obedient? And just like you said, you know, you weren't given an option. You were told this is. And
right.
again, that's obedience. You had to be obedient, and you had to follow the path. So
yes.
that word obedient is really pretty much the context with which many doctors and their cancer therapies and treatments, and also, and we're
right.
not going to just stick with just the word cancer because, you know, I'll tell you, I've been in dental for 30 years too. Dentistry, you sit in that chair, good luck, honey, if you know what's going to go on because you don't know squat
right.
until you get out of
right.
it. So there's another example
right.
of obedience, you know, or you leave your kids off at a daycare. You're trusting, you know, we're trusting human beings. But the
we
word
are.
Obedient, it stuck out so hard, and it was just like, you're really holding my life in your hands and you want me to be obedient, you know, and
right.
You know, and I guess that just kind of soured, and I think that's really where a lot of people really are now is about that. Do I really want to make
right.
my power back, or do I want to continue to keep giving it to something or someone else?
Right, and I would encourage the listeners to take back that power. I was
yeah.
actually told by my first oncologist, which I subsequently fired, that why do you ask so many questions? All of my other patients just do what I tell them to do.
Obedience.
And I thought, well, I think they're dying. I see them out here. They look terrible. They're on oxygen and they have canes and walkers and
right.
I hear what happened to the one I saw here 3 weeks ago. Well, she's no longer on this earth. And, you know, so I encourage everyone to ask questions because we are taught to respect authority, and we want to believe that these people have our best interests at heart and that they know everything. And they may truly care about their patients, but they don't have all the information if they're operating with just one choice of modalities.
Well, I think
so
you
do have to stand up.
You said one word, authority. There
yes.
is no really authority in the world, though. There is just
right.
people who are educated, and there are people
yes.
who believe or maybe know more, and we trust them. But really,
mm-hmm.
authority, I think authority is, authority and obedience are going to go away pretty quickly, you know.
Right.
And I
right.
think a lot of times, too, if we look at cancer, a lot of, well, not a lot, but let's say the majority of patients are over the age of 55. And if we look at that, we say, that's rather interesting. We look at over 55, they have a very difficult time in letting go of those words, obedient and authority. Hey, I'm 60, and, you know, obedience was shoved down my throat like nobody's business. I went to a Roman Catholic school, you know. The nuns would hit your hand on with the ruler, you know, if you wrote with your wrong hand or if you didn't do this or that or the other. And now we, as children then, are now older adults, and it's very difficult to give up and say, you know, I'm going to question someone who I believed in the past to always be that authority. You know, so it is kind of a, a moral and a judgment call for a lot of people that are hard to do that. I, in fact, had a cancer patient the other day say to me, the daughter was with him, and she was asking about medications when she went in. And the father said, do not do that. The doctor is very busy. He doesn't have time to do that. And I went, gosh, you know, we've got to take back our own power. We cannot just keep letting that go because the doctor doesn't even know what medications you're on. What do you mean it's not important that he stop and look at them? But the patient still felt that he was too busy to look at them. So it's really, I think, even purchasing your book is an act of power because you're saying that something isn't working in your life and you really want to try something else.
Right.
And I think it's important to really look at that.
Right. Well, one of the main things, I'll finish with my story in a minute, but the main conclusion of my book is that we don't have to wait until cancer is big enough to show up on the test that, that the standard doctor uses, because by the time they find it at that point, they want to whisk you in for surgery.
Yeah.
And to me, you have one foot on a banana peel. And I found out through my story that I'll tell that is not necessary. They're just not giving us these true early diagnostic tests. There's no reason to wait and let cancer grow to be a centimeter. You can find it, you know, that's year 7 or 8. You can find it way, way earlier and be empowered to make some naturopathic lifestyle changes. Because we know with the study of epigenetics that cancer and diabetes and heart disease, these are all lifestyle related. And, you know, we can just tell that as the United States has become more into a fast-paced lifestyle. We have so many processed foods and so many fast creams and chemicals and soaps and lotions and that we put on our bodies, that these things alter our genetic coding of our cells. And can cause things to go wrong, and it seems like every year these numbers get worse. We see more and more disease. I receive phone calls from people in their 20s and 30s with cancer. I had a call yesterday from a gal that had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I couldn't believe her age, and I said, okay, this is just wrong. This is wrong that you have this. And it just breaks my heart that, you know, people will get in such a desperate situation because I know personally when you were told that you have cancer, the first thing at least I wanted to do and most of the people that I speak with is you want it out of your body and you want it out by the first person who will get it out, you know, at the first available date because you think that removing that lump or bump is going to get rid of the cancer. And, I mean, I literally had two plastic surgeons and I said, well, which one of you can do it first? And that was the one I was going to go with. I didn't know any better. And really what I learned later was that all I did was by letting them remove breast tissue was I kept the cancer from coming back in that tissue that went in the trash can in that operating room because I didn't know about circulating tumor cells. I thought that the cancer was just a little part that was over there in my breast. I didn't realize it had blood flow going in and out of it. And it's called a process called angiogenesis. These cancer cells actually grow little blood vessels because they need nutrients. And they steal it. They steal the nutrients from the host, from us. And I've since learned that anything over 2 millimeters has blood perfusion. So cells obviously get swept away into the bloodstream. And I was just shocked to find out that that is how somebody, you know, you will hear your friend, oh, they have colon cancer. Oh, they took out 6 inches of the colon. They have clean margins. Everything looks great. The PET scan is clear. But then 6 months or 2 years or 4 years later or sometime even 10 years later, they're able to hold it off, their immune system. But then it's in the liver or it's in the bones. And you're thinking, well, how can that be? I thought they said they were cancer-free. Well, it's back to what you said earlier. Yeah, it's back to what you said earlier. They put them on what I call a Weight Watch and Wonder program.
Right.
And instead, in my book, I tell people about other testing that you can get, and I tell you what phone number to call, how much it costs. I even tell you if you want to find a doctor to help you with it. So you can see a recurrence coming early because cancer caught early is so much easier to correct and to heal from. And I think what we're doing in this country is we're letting it grow for way too long where it becomes a bigger problem and it's more monumental to get rid of.
And you have to look at, too, the concept around physicians is that, I mean, even when you have an infection, let's say a sinus infection, you constantly mm-hmm. just get these pre-printed prescription pads, you know, and then first you get your steroids and your Z-Pak, and then 2 weeks later you get something else if it doesn't work, and then, you know, another month later you're going to be getting something else. When really, if they would just culture the darn thing in the first place, you would figure out what would work, you know? You wonder why the darn resistance, you know? It's like, how hard is it for you to culture that? It's not hard, you know?
Well, And to add to that, they never take their patient and put them on a probiotic after they've,
right.
you know, annihilated their gut flora, which is mm-hmm. what we all need, is which is the basis of our immune system, because there's no code for them to charge the insurance for that. There's only
right.
a code for them to treat you and to prescribe you an antibiotic. They can bill your insurance for that. The patient doesn't have to pay. Mm-hmm. But if you come back in and post sinus infection, which most people never go back, they're better, they don't mm-hmm. go back, the doctor never has time, or I don't think it's even protocol, to tell them, okay, I just put you
no.
on a really strong probiotic, and so now we've got to repopulate your gut with the good flora, or this will come back because your immune system is now suppressed.
Right.
And, you know, there's no money in that for their, you know, they don't have the time either, I believe. You know, they're seeing so
no.
many patients.
And really, if you look at the back end of it, you know, when we talk about cancer, it's called cut it out, burn it out, stop it. Those are the three ways. They don't have any other armamentarium. And really, when you look at, you know, what are the factors contributing to it, and in your book you have a great diagram. I mean, lifestyle, you know, genes, microbes, inflammation, acidity, decreased oxygen, energy, chemicals, hormones, processed food, sugar, and stress. Now, do you think the physician has a tool that'll be able to address all of those? The answer is absolutely not. But you look at it and you say, well, why the majority of cancer cases usually are when a lot of these things are out of balance, they're skewed, you know, too much processed food, too much sugar, and maybe, you know, you're not sleeping well at all, and you've got some inflammation going on, and, you know, just things are just like all funky, you know, everywhere. So really, they just will tell you, go out, figure your stuff out, and, you know, come back. You need to de-stress. You need to do a diet. And you walk out the door and you go, you know, put your hands up in the air and say, you know, I'll think about this for the next hour or two, but hey, I've got to get back to work. My kids are busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's gone by the wayside again.
Right. I mean, we are at the point where one out of two men are getting cancer, one out of two and a half women, not to mention diabetes and heart disease. And so we're obviously doing something wrong. And I tell people, they'll say, well, my doctor told me this. And I'm like, yes, but that's like going
right.
to your plumber and asking your plumber
yes.
To fix your light fixture. You're going
mm-hmm.
to a regular doctor, and that regular doctor will ask you for your symptoms. And based on those symptoms, he will look in his toolbox and see which pharmaceutical he can give you that will
mm-hmm.
treat those symptoms. So you can't really
right.
blame the doctor because that's what you're asking for.
Right.
So we have to look outside the box and go to naturopathic physicians who will look at the body as a whole and fix the things that
mm-hmm.
are causing the things to go wrong. I talk in my book about, I truly believe that cancer is a self-survival mechanism of the cell, that we are toxic and we are deficient. And I tell them, okay, you've got to get off of even bread, because, you know, a piece of whole wheat bread has as much glycemic rise as a little Snickers bar. But they think, their doctors say, oh, eat whole grains. But if you're eating whole grains all day, you're going to have too high of a blood sugar. And I use a diagram of, I have two tennis balls to explain this when I go out and
mm-hmm,
speak. And
mm-hmm.
I have one tennis ball that has 10 little colored stick pins in it to represent the insulin
yeah.
receptors. And then I have another tennis ball that has like 150, because we know that cancer cells have 150 times insulin receptors of a healthy cell.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to, so I show the people the two tennis balls, and this goes back to the philosophy of how a PET scan works. They inject you with radioactive glucose,
mm-hmm.
you wait for an hour, and then the glucose circulates, and then they take a picture. Well, the tennis ball or the cancer cells with all those extra insulin receptors, they grab the glucose, the radioactive glucose, and they take a picture, and it lights up. So that's how they even use sugar to find cancer, because they know it. The cancer cells use that for metabolism and for cellular growth. And so, but not one of my three oncologists, actually the third oncologist, I had this discussion. The first two that I released, they never said a word to me about this, and I had no idea. In fact, they told me eat whatever I want because they wanted me to feel as good as possible while they were poisoning me. You know, it made no sense to me once I learned what I learned. And then to add something to the story, I was told that I'd had cancer for 8 years at the time of my diagnosis, but yet they found it really early. And I just thought, how come we can send a text from Florida over to California and it can arrive in 15 seconds, but we can't find cancer before 7 or 8 years?
I know.
Of it growing in the body silently. And I've talked to people all over the country about this, and it's not true. We're just not doing the right tests to find it. I get so excited when someone goes and gets something like an oncoblot test or an RGCC oncocount, and it comes back with some circulating tumor cells, or on the RGCC or the oncoblot comes back as a positive, and they go down and get a PET scan at one of these huge cancer institutions, and it's negative. And they're like, this test must be wrong. I don't have cancer. And I'm like, listen, you need to be blessed, because these tests will find it years before there are enough cells that have grown and clumped together to even absorb enough glucose to light up on that scan. So you now can make some lifestyle changes, find yourself a great integrative practitioner, go on to bestanswerforcancer.org, click on Find a Physician, Google naturopathic people in your area, start detoxing, and my wish for them and my hope is that they never get that diagnosis, because it is a terrible place to be walking the halls of any cancer hospital and to look at a chart with your name on the side. And I truly believe that these tests can be reverted. I've talked to physicians that have people get positive test results. They start doing integrative, oxidative, cleansing, healing therapies, and the test reverts back to negative. And I'm so excited about that, and that is why I wrote this book, to tell people you have to be an advocate for yourself. There are great practitioners out like yourself that can help people to get on the right path, because a lot of it is just we have what we think is truth is not truth, and we don't, you know, we want to believe the packaging. We want to believe things are fortified. We want to believe these things are good for us, but we're actually very toxic, and we're running high blood sugars and high inflammatory rates. And all of these, both of those are just breeding grounds for cancer.
Well, let's talk a little bit about testing, because your book is mostly about testing. A lot of people say, my doctor tests me all the time, and, you know, we're not even going to go down that road. So there are a lot of great tests that you have in your book, and you talk about them. You describe the test, its positive aspects of the test, and how you can get it, how much it costs, what the requirements are of the test. And it's really important to know the benefits of it, because, you know, sometimes we think, oh, well, they got it, I'll just get it, when really it might not benefit you. So I do encourage you to read that part of the book. And also limitations. Because limitations, just because I'm testing because someone else told me to, and it might be the wrong test for me, but also, too, it may not be the best test for you, because you may not be able to, you might not fit into the parameters of it. So with limitations, you know, it's very important to know limitations. Sometimes just because there's a test out there does not mean that you should run out and get it. I mean, there was a posting on Facebook going around about the $25 virus test. You know, you can find out all the viruses that you had in your whole lifetime for $25. And it was really? And I'm thinking, that is not really the essence. You know, it was so taken out of context, because, first of all, the test is not out yet. Number two, do you really want to test and find out if you don't have any therapy or treatment for it? Or do you want to, a lot of people will find out if they have AIDS or not, and a lot of people don't want to know that. So really there's a lot of social questions in there too, where if you're proactive about your health, that's a different story. But some of these other people who are just randomly deciding to do these tests, it's not a great thing, because it'll really put them maybe in a spot where they have to look at their health, or maybe where they'll look at a spot and, you know, that's just not going to work for them. So we really do caution you about reading the book, because you need to read the entire test description, read about descriptions and everything in here before you actually even think about it. And then also she has a lot of resources in the book. Jenny has a lot of resources in the back of the book, so you could be able to look there and say, oh, okay, I see this. It's in this reference and it's in that one, and read a little bit more about it, and I think you'll have to be able to make a better decision. So let's talk a little bit about some of the tests in here. What do you think is like the number one you're going to hit first?
Well, I will tell you the test that I did first. When I left, I'm in the Houston area, and I was kind of fed up with the Houston oncologists here, and I thought I'd heard about a great naturopathic guy in Dallas. So I went to see him, and I said, oh, I want to build up my immune system, and I told him, you know, brought all my clean PET scan and everything, and he said, well, could you just humor me for just a bit, and let's just check and make sure you still don't have cancer. And I said, well, I don't. They told me I'm cancer-free. I had surgery, I have clean surgical margins, and my PET scan is clear, so there's no way I have cancer. And he said, well, will you just humor me and do this test? So I did a test called an OncoCount, and I believe it's about 550 euros, and it's done out of Greece through the Research Genetic Cancer Center. And there's a similar test here in the U.S. called Cell Search, and it's owned by the parent company is Johnson & Johnson. Anyway, and it also tests for circulating tumor cells. So I say that only to validate that the technology is here and it's available, because we do it in the U.S., but the difference is you can only get the test in the United States if you are suspected of having metastatic cancer, which means you've already gone through treatment or you've got cancer and they think it's all over the body and it has to be breast, colon, or prostate cancer to get that test. And they will also tell you their test will not find cancer until it has metastasized to another organ. So they do not have the sensitivity on it set very high. Anyway, so I did send my blood over to Research Genetic Cancer Center, and I had an onco count, and I sent my blood over they sent it in a box on ice, so it got over there, and I expected it to come back zero because my oncologist had told me I was cancer-free. I had just finished four rounds of chemotherapy, and my hair was about an inch and a half long. It was growing back, and I was on the way to building my immune system based on what I saw at that support group. I knew I needed that. So anyway, when my results came in, he asked me if I could come back, and I thought, well, that's a four-hour drive. Can't you just give me the results over the phone? And he said, no, I want to come in and go over your tests with you. Anyway, what they can do is, and let me just also say this, we all have cancer cells. Every day we make cancer cells. But a lab should not be able to pull out replicating cancer cells from your blood and culture them in a lab and grow them. So if they find cancer cells on you, you do have an issue. So anyway, it came back, and it said that I had 14.2 cells per 7.5 cc's of my blood. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that's almost two cancer cells in every little cc or milliliter of blood. And if anyone knows what a little insulin syringe looks like, if you put all of my blood, lined it up in insulin syringes, I had over two cancer cells in every little syringe. Well, this lab is in Greece, and I'm researching it, and I'm finding that the rest of the world use this lab. This is new to the U.S. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this explains to me why all those people in that support group were told they were cancer-free, but then the cancer came back in another organ because these cells were left circulating in the blood, and chemotherapy does not kill all of them. In fact, it kills the weakest of the cells, and even if it kills 99% of the cancer cells that are circulating, and you get that 1% that's left over, that 1%, that's the strongest of those cells, and then that's the one that grows back. And that's why you hear people say, well, they had to put me on a stronger chemotherapy because this one didn't, you know, the one I used before didn't work. Anyway, so he sat me down and he explained this to me, and I thought, no one ever told me about circulating tumor cells. And I can't even begin to tell you how many appointments I've had tests I've had. I mean, this is ridiculous that I'm finding this out on my own here in Dallas, and I'm seeking you out on my own. And I thought, I am set up, just like these women, for a metastasis in some other organ. So for me, finding out that I had that, I feel like it saved my life. It was the motivation I needed to do something more, because I had my doctor, my oncologist, telling me I was fine. All I needed to do was take tamoxifen, which was just a hormone blocker, which does not kill one cancer cell. In fact, it is a carcinogen, and it doesn't kill any cancer cells. It just blocks the hormone receptors. And what they're finding about that drug is when they take it back after 5 years, the cancer can many times come back with a vengeance because those cells are just so hungry for the hormone. So now they've decided, instead of taking it back at 5 years, because so many people were having a recurrence at that point, they're saying, oh, just take it for 10. But so many people are also coming up with uterine and liver cancer from this drug. Anyway, so I found out that I had circulating tumor cells. I was shocked, but I was kind of like a bull in a china closet. I thought, you know, some people would don't want to do anything. They would run back to their oncologist. But I thought, these are the very people who didn't give me the full story. And I did enough research to find out that there's truth to this. This is not stuff I'm making up. It's out there. The rest of the world knows about it. Doctors in Germany and Greece and Switzerland and Africa, they all know about this. But the oncologists in the U.S. don't. I changed my diet. I went very paleo, small amounts of meat. I did some intravenous vitamin C. I took something called poly-MVA. I took lots of natural herbs that were made and created on the earth that will actually create apoptosis, which is a little word that people throw around, but it just means the cancer cells will induce cellular death, because we know that cancer cells don't die. They just kind of keep reproducing, and they want to starve out their host, and other herbs that cause angiogenesis, which will deter that blood, the little blood vessels that a cancer cell will want to put out to feed itself. And anyway, so within 3 months, I had my count down to 5.5 from 14.2, and then I did another 3 months of intense treatment, integrative holistic treatment, and I got it down to 2.9. So I personally have seen it work, not to mention I've interviewed so many people during this book, you know, just to know that the body can heal if you detox it and you give it what it needs. And that's the test that I did. But what I wanted to do with this book is I give people all sorts of options. You know, if you're worried about colon cancer, there's a test you can order on Amazon, and it's an occult blood stool test. They tell you how to do it. You go to the restroom and have a bowel movement, and you throw the little thing in the toilet, and it looks for occult blood, which is a very, very occult means not, you cannot see it. It's a very early warning sign of colon cancer. You don't want to wait till you have visible blood in your stool or you've got bowel obstruction, and then by the time you go in, your whole gut lights up on a PET scan. You want to find these things early so you can give the body the best chance possible to reverse it.
And so many times when you go to a physician and you say, I'm going in for my yearly or every 2 years exam, all they're really doing is having standard blood tests done. They are just doing your blood pressure, asking you questions, and you're out the door. None of these testings, unless you raise a red flag or you say something to them, you're not going to get anything more than that. So really, to expect it to be able to be caught by just doing that process, it's sort of like it's not going to happen. It's sort of like taking your car in to get it fixed, but really all they do is wash it, you know? They don't hook it up to a machine. They don't run some scans on it. They don't do some tests on it. They don't pull the plugs or pull the snakes to be able to see different things, what the levels are and stuff like that. They don't do that. And really, that's what we're saying in this book, is that there's many tests in here that will find those hidden little cracks and do some diagnostics on your system to be able to say, hey, I'm going to look a little further, but I'm going to look around the door. I'm going to look in the corner. I'm going to find something differently than you have ever been tested for before. And that's really what all these tests are about that you talk about in the book.
right. I don't want anyone to get in a really bad situation because it is, it's emotionally stressing, mm-hmm. stress to find out that you have cancer. And actually, in about a month, I'm launching a national campaign to bring about awareness of these true early diagnostic tests. So if people will check back to my website, it's cancerfreeareyousure.com, they'll be able to go on and see that, because that's my heart's desire, is to stop this silent growth of cancer in half of our population, basically. Let's find it early. Let's give people the motivation to make some change in their life, because if you don't know you need to make change, you won't make the change.
Right. Let's talk for a second about, you have a test in here, the RGCC. A lot of people mm-hmm. say, oh, I do the genetic testing online, you know, I'm good to go. And
right.
then when they find something going on in their body, you know, we always see these people doing double mastectomies and they're good to go.
Right.
And they figure that. Really, you and I, you know, that's what we're talking about here, is that the test is not always the only test. One genetic test does not equal another genetic test. And also just taking out pieces of organs or tumors or removing breast tissue and stuff does not mean that you are, as we have said, cancer-free. That is just taken, as we would say, taking the elephant out of the kitchen, you know.
Right.
That's really what that's all about. So let's talk a little bit about this genetic test.
Okay. Are you talking about the RGCC?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That test, the one I just, they do, that lab actually does a multitude of different tests. The one I just talked about was just the OncoCount, and that is mm-hmm. where they are looking for circulating tumor cells or circulating cancer cells in the blood. Mm-hmm. They will take that further where they look for different genes that are turned on that would indicate metastasis. There's something called the mTOR pathway, which is a pathway that different cancer cells proliferate. And based on the different pathways and things that are on, then an integrative oncologist can look at those results and tell you different natural substances and sometime a prescription substance that targets that particular pathway. Because when you go to just a regular oncologist, they're going to use just standard guidelines that everybody who comes in with breast cancer that is triple negative, they pull out their handbook, mm-hmm. and everyone gets that same treatment. There's a choice okay. of different drugs the doctor can pick from, but everyone stays in that path unless you get put in some sort of a study. There's no, and the doctor doesn't have the information that you would get from something like an RGCC test. There's one test that you can do that does genetic testing. I talk about it in the book, but I don't recommend it because at that point, to get that test, it's Dr. Nagorny's, you have to actually send a piece of the tumor to him. Well, I don't want mm-hmm. people to have a piece of tumor ever. I want you to find it before there's a big enough piece of tumor for someone to stick a needle mm-hmm. in you or a scalpel and remove it. My goal mm-hmm. is for you to find cancer before they can even find the lump or bump, because it starts out as one cell. Let's say the OncoBlot test, that's looking for the ENOX2 protein, which is a protein that's on the surface of every cancer cell. Well, they test for this protein in the blood because that gets also swept off in the blood. And if you have a positive ENOX2 protein test, we know you have cancer cells that are going around, and these aren't the kind that just pop up one day and the immune system kills them. These are ones that are growing mm-hmm. enough for you to have a level. And in fact, this lab right now is, I spoke to them last week, they are actually going through FDA approval because it's a valid test. And, you know, right now insurance doesn't pay for it, but we're working towards that. And by increasing the awareness of it, people can start asking for it, and the insurance companies will keep getting, requests for this test. And that's the only way you make positive change is with United Voices. And that's partly why I want to get this actually, I'm calling my campaign, it's going to be called No Lump or Bump. So when you go to my website at cancerfreeareyousure.com, you can click on that. It'll take you to my public awareness campaign, and you can sign your name showing support for that. Because right now, hiding from cancer in the United States is not something that works. With one out of two men getting it, you can't hide, and to pretend that it's not there doesn't work either, because it's touching our lives. It's touching our parents, our children, our aunts, our uncles. It's just everywhere in our society. And I think in the past we always thought, oh, that's something someone else gets.
Right.
Well, that's not the way it is in 2015. It's everywhere, and they're even finding, I think the rates are actually higher than what is put out in the statistics, mm-hmm. because I read reports of people who do autopsies, and they're finding, you know, lumps and bumps and cancerous tumors in people that died in auto accidents and of other causes.
And also, too, when you think about cancer, how it also throws out some clots, or it throws out, different cells in the body, that can end up looking like heart attack. It could end up looking like a stroke. It
right.
could, you know, look like various other diseases by name. And when you die, you know, all the time, well, hey, your heart stops. So they're not going to look
right.
any further. They're just going to put you had
right.
a stroke or a heart attack. That is what it is.
Right,
because if
right.
you ever really started delving into that, that's never going to happen. And also,
right.
too,
so, yeah.
The recent cancer I had gone to, I think it was last year, there was a lot of conversation amongst all the oncologists that there was going to be one gene and they were going to fix that gene because it was broken. And,
right.
well, at the end of the talk, they put up a chart, and it showed all of the genes and all the little parts that were what they called, quote, broken. And mm-hmm. they decided and discovered that for one disease name, there were several breaks, and they could mm-hmm. never, ever focus on one spot. It was skewed. There was no standard, you know. There was no right down the middle line where all of the tests, you know, all of the broken DNA right down the line, like 99% of these people with this cancer have this broken gene. They couldn't say that. It was skewed so much that there was no bell curve. There was nothing. It was just totally random, and it just looks like the stars at night on the sky, you
right.
know. And then
right.
the doctor stood up and he said, so are we ever really, what is our real goal here? Are we curing cancer? And he sat down, no one answered it, and they adjourned because they know they can't.
Right.
They
well, let me
say can't.
This. You bring up a very good point, because so many people are becoming wise to the chemotherapy modality, that it's not necessarily the cure, and they're doing alternative therapies. And as you said before, what works for one person
mm-hmm.
worked beautifully. I've talked to one guy with pancreatic cancer, and he did one therapy, and he was stage four. He's cancer free. I mean, he's looking great. He was yellow before. He told me the story, showed me pictures, and he did this alternative therapy, and it worked for him. The next person comes up and says, I did that therapy, and it didn't work for me. So what's so nice about the test that I have in my book, if you go and you're going to try one of these alternative therapies, and that has a really good success rate, you can use one of the tests in my book to validate, to see if that therapy is working for you, because you
right.
don't want to be doing a therapy that worked just because it worked for six other people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You might be that one person that it doesn't work for, and so you need to know, is that count going down, or the test results getting better, because you don't, you know, then you can switch and try a different one. Because I have interviewed so many people over the last 3.5 years, and everyone has almost a little bit of a different story of what they did. But they're all living in good, vibrant health now, but they did different integrative therapies. But, you know, then I hear the story of, well, I tried Laetril and it didn't work for me and for my friend, and my friend died. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness, I wish your friend had gotten I wish I had written this book sooner. They could have tested and known that it wasn't working for them. But it's just amazing, the cures that, you know, now I understand why you can go to find, you know, book after book after book about people who've healed their body of cancer. And it goes back to stopping that angiogenesis and fixing the body and giving the body proper cellular support. And earlier you were talking about viruses. Well, fine, you can find out how many viruses your body has, but if your immune system is healthy, those viruses can live and they won't be active. So who cares if you have them or they've been there in the past? If you're, you know, keeping your body healthy and doing what you need to do, they won't rise up and I call it the symptoms will come up past your equilibrium of health where you actually feel like you're sick.
Right.
It's just it's complicated, and people need tools, and that is why I wrote this book, because I wish I had had this book. I would not have made the choices I made had I known what I know now.
You know, we're pretty much coming up on the end of the show, though, Jenny, and I really think that what we've really done is barely even touched this topic. So I really encourage everyone to check out the book. It's called Cancer Free, Are You Sure? The link is on the bottom of today's show page. Click on there, you'll go directly to the website. And also, too, this is not something you sit down and you read it in one night, or you can just open it up randomly. You really do need to use this as your Bible, to be able to say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to write things in the side. I'm going to flip each page. It's probably not something that you want to do on a Kindle. You want to have it in paper form so that you can make those marks and say, this might work for me. Or you could put a date in here. Oh, I called the company and what you found out or whatever. And it's really about using it as your own tool to say, I'm going to figure out something, and I'm going to try different things, and this is my guide. And that's really what the book is all about.
Right. There's no reason to live in fear. I talk to so many people that are afraid they're going to get cancer, and I'm like, well, get one of these tests. Then you don't have to live in fear, and you can have joy.
Right.
It's possible. It's possible. We just have to know where to look and how to do it.
But also, too, a lot of people, you know, we all know the theory is that if you test, you better have a diagnosis and you better have a way to treat it. That's really the restriction of many physicians, you know.
Right.
They will not. That is the golden rule, is do not, absolutely do not test if it's not in your wheelhouse, number one. Number two, if you don't have a diagnosis and that you can code it correctly within your field. And number three, if you don't have a successful treatment, do not do it. Refer. So it's important to know in this book, am I going to run this test? But, you know, hey, when the mail comes that day with those results, what am I going to do with them? Because you certainly cannot take them back to an MD who you've decided that just doesn't listen to you anyway. So it's very important to know, what are you going to do? What is your action plan? So that's why I encourage you to read the book from front to back before you start doing anything. You need an action plan.
Sure. And I will tell them there is a group called Best Answer for Cancer, and it will take you to the IOICP website, which is the International Association for Integrative Oncology Physicians. And both websites have a Find a Physician tab, and any physician that's a member of one of those groups will look at these tests. They're familiar with them, and they can help you come up with a plan to restore your health.
And also, to look at the area in which you live. If the area in which you live is not conducive to having some, as we would call, different thoughts on some topics, we'll be kind. And, you know, you can go to Arizona. Let me tell you, I lived in Arizona. I went to medical school in Arizona. It is so progressive. Even the idea of a thermography test, you know, a thermogram, and you for breast, and it's like, I had one done, I think it was in the late 90s, and they're barely even in some cities. They don't know what you're talking about. So it's really important to be able to say, you know, if it doesn't work for me here, I need to go somewhere else, or I need to find somebody somewhere else, because there are people out there. They're not going to be in your backyard.
Yeah.
They might not be at the grocery store, and they might totally just not agree with you at all. And it's really up to you. You know, the bottom line is, do you or don't you, and do you take care of yourself or not, and do you be able to get on that right path for you? And that's really what we're all talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Jenny, could you share with us again your website and a little bit about your project? We have about 2 minutes, and that would be wonderful.
Okay. My website is www.cancerfreeareyousure.com. And you can purchase my book there, or it's on Amazon also, and you can also get it on an ebook if some people just like that through Amazon. It helps me if you buy it from my website, because then I can be in contact with you, and you can go on my website, and I can post. I'm going to be posting new, if a new test comes up that's not in the book, that you'll be able to find that there. Also, my new project that I'm launching is going to be called, actually the website is www.nolumperbump.com, and that will be up in a couple of weeks. And I just want to spread the word across the entire nation. It may sound like a huge project, but if you don't start somewhere, how can you spread the word? And I just want people to know there is more than what you get when you go to just a standard oncology appointment. There's more than finding out that you have cancer when it's even stage one. I want people to find it before they can even measure it, because it grows to that. And with one out of two people getting it, the odds are if one of these tests comes back and it's positive and you don't believe it, then validate it with a second test. They're all different price ranges. My prayer is that someday these will be covered by insurance. You can use like a health savings account to pay for them. They range in price from, you know, $25 up to, you know, I think there's one that's almost $1,000. So it's, you know, you have to look at it. And the main thing is be proactive, take great care of yourself, and don't trust that things are fine, because nowadays we just can't do that. I see too many people being told they're cancer-free, and then I watch them die, and they, now that my book is out, they want to listen to me. But before, I would try and give them information, and they just thought, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. My doctor knows. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're gone, and, you know, and they, you know, anyway. But now that the book is out, it's great. I'm receiving calls from all across the country from physicians that say, thank you for writing this book. I didn't invent anything in the book. It's well-sourced. I just provide all the testing so people can make their own choices, just like you said,
right.
Because what test is good for one person might not be good for another. And it might be bad for you to test because you're not going to make any changes. Because if someone is positive with cancer, let me tell you, you're going to have to make lifestyle changes. And if you're not willing to do that, then I would say don't test. But if you really want to live and want to live abundantly and have great health, this is a tool where you can find something coming super early or see a recurrence coming early. And we know you have better outcomes when you get after something really early instead of letting it have deep roots. And even stage one is deep roots because, like we said, anything over 2 millimeters has already got cells circulating in the blood. So I just encourage everybody to take great care of themselves. You can look on my website. I'm going to be adding all sorts of links to other people. I don't really get into the therapies because that's not my expertise. Mm-hmm. That's a huge area in its own. But I love Ty Bollinger. You can Google him and look him up. He has a great website and information. There's so many good people out there that can help you find an integrative practitioner or a therapy, or just people like yourself, Dr. Jeanette Ward, that can give you, help you to heal your body and detox and get the right nutrients in.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us. Perhaps maybe you can come back again in a few months and we could talk about your program some more.
That would be awesome. I would love to do that.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information about Jenny, her link is on the bottom of today's show page. Again, the book is Cancer Free, Are You Sure? And please do pay attention to what Jenny and I both said. If you have no intentions of making any changes in your lifestyle or in the way you do things with your health, this is not for you. If you feel that you really want to take back your life and make some changes, this book is absolutely for you. So please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page. And thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.